Now we go on to the second lesson. Last night we kind of like go through the introduction of these few verses, and okay, here in Ephesians chapter 6, back to Ephesians chapter 6 again, and we will take the verse 13, okay, and 14 today, maybe the first half of verse 14, just my text is still the whole few verses, but I just read a few verses here, okay, two verses this morning. Here you find that in verse 13, the Bible says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore." Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you once again for this morning. Indeed, Lord, we are thankful to be in this beautiful place. Thank you for all those who are here. Pray the Lord that you will continue to speak to our heart and help us, Lord, to learn to stand for our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here you find that now the conflict, like it says here, is inevitable, okay? You can't avoid this conflict, and it's almost like if you remember, when we think about warfare, you have to sometimes consider the warfare in the past. The warfare in the past and the warfare today are very different. And when I look at some of the, in the past, okay, look at some of the war movie, I find that those soldiers in the past are not too smart. Because they will stand in line, you know, the opponent will be the other side, you know. Then, especially when they have those rifle or gun, when they have gun that time, I think that's really silly. You know, you're standing there, you know, open target, everybody just aim and shoot. Then some fell off, then while they load the gun, then the other group will shoot again. And so you find that you can see, that was the way they fight, you know. I would say that it's very gentleman in a certain way. And even before that, they will all have them all arrayed. And you read the Bible, during the Bible time, it was exactly the same. But of course nowadays, warfare are different. You don't need to have soldier over there, you know. You just have the plane over. You can bomb the opponent in whatever way you want. And so it's very different. And then of course, the devil basically used the terrorist tactic, okay. You find that they can be anywhere, anytime, you know, and you don't know who they are. And so here you find that this warfare is inevitable. And we know that since we cannot avoid this spiritual warfare, what must we do then? You know, you find that we know that our enemies are spiritual beings. We cannot see or touch them. But they can see us. And not only that they can see us, they are real, and they are more powerful than us. And so what do we do then? Of course, we have a few choices here. One is to run. You know, that is the obvious thing, okay? When you see the enemy comes and you cannot fight, you know, then what do? You just run. But of course, when you're in a spiritual warfare, to run can be very dangerous. Because the moment you run, you must remember when you read through this passage, you look at all the armors, okay? All the different parts of the armors, most of them don't defend the back. So once you turn your back and run, you become like more like an open target. And so running is not the way, okay? And of course, or you can do what we call the hit and run, okay? Early this year, I have a reunion with my primary school friend. And it is kind of nice to have all the primary students when you are so old and group together again. The moment you sit together, you talk like a primary student. You know, you still remember, talk about all those things, and say, yes, that's funny. You talk about all the funny things that you do, and you were still kid, you know. Two of us were sitting, you know, one of my, I wouldn't say very close friend, but it's kind of close enough. And we were sitting together, and he is as tall as me now, okay? Both of us are tall, very tall now. And then one guy, he was a bully, you know, when we were in school, he was one of the bully, and both of us all bullied by him when we were young. And of course, it was different. At that time, we just fight for all the different things in the school, facility in the school. But anyway, so this guy came in. Then when the moment he walked to us, we didn't see this guy for a long time. That was almost the first time we met him after so many years. And so we look at one another and we laugh, kind of like laugh. Because you see, when we were young, we were all very tiny. Two of us were kind of like tiny, you know, very small. And that guy is big, you know, and because he's big, so he kind of bully us. And but now, both of us are at least one head taller than him, you know. So we see any one of us can take him on. Somehow he stopped growing somehow. I don't know what happened to him. But then this friend of mine told me, he said, there was one day, he was so upset with him. And so he went over to him, and he gave him a good punch in the face. And after that, he ran to the teachers. And then because he's a good runner, so he stand next to the teacher. He stood next to the teacher, and that guy did not do anything. So we cannot fight the devil that way. We cannot hit and run, you know. And when are you going to run, you know? And so we cannot run away, and we cannot deny him. You know, you find that, and of course we don't try to do like some other believer. I don't know whether they are believer or not in the first place, okay? But there are some who claim that they can bind the devil. And so they, in their prayer, they will say, bind this spirit, bind that spirit, bind this devil, bind that. You know, they bind all this evil spirit or whatever. So basically, what they are talking about in their prayer, they are asking God to bind all these angels, fallen angels, so that they cannot do anything during the service or whatever. But we don't have that kind of power, and this is not God's plan, I believe, because we know that one day God is going to bind, but the devil will be bound for 1,000 years, and but at the moment, God allowed the devil and all the fallen, those that he allows to move freely, okay, they are moving freely. You know, you cannot, in your prayer, just say, ask God to bind them, and then, will God bind them? Will God listen to that kind of prayer? And if God do bind them, will they be free again? If they will be free again, are we playing kind of like children playing games when we are young? You know, the soldier and the police and the thief, you know. Then you run, you catch the thief. Then he at that moment, he cannot move. Then you wait for a while. Then your friend come over, rescue you, touch you. Then you can run again, you know. I don't think you can bind the devil that way. It's not God's plan now to do this thing. So it's not the right thing to do. So we don't fight the devil that way. You know, it's not like in your prayer, keep asking God to bind this and bind that. That will work. And we cannot run. And here the word of God tells us, the things that we must do here in facing our enemy is right here. In verse 13 he says here, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand therefore. In fact, in verse 11 also say, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You need to stand. You stand against, God wants us to stand against the devil. Not to run away, not to flee, but to stand. You know, that's how, what God wants us to do, is to stand, okay? If we don't stand, you know, we will fall. And in fact, it's true, if you don't stand for anything, there are some people, they don't have a stand for anything, or for something. You know, if you don't have a stand for something, you will fall for anything. And so God wants us to stand against the devil. So that means that we're supposed to stand or to maintain our ground. This is our duty. We cannot walk away. We just have to maintain our ground. Stand your ground, okay? And so you must not yield to the devil or flee from him. We are to stand. You know, the word stand, as I say, mentioned here, okay, say just now, mentioned three times here. We need to stand. To stand against the devil. So how do we stand against the devil? First, you find that the word of God tells us here, we must put on the whole armor of God. And in fact, the word of God emphasized twice, okay? It must be the whole armor of God. Not just have the breastplate or have the sword and without this and without that. You have the whole armor. You must put on the whole armor of God and stand. So that is the first thing you must do. Put on the whole armor of God and stand. You know, here you find that in Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 13, Romans 13, okay, verse 12 here. Romans 13 verse 12. Here the word of God says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So here we have this armor of light, and I believe it's quite likely referring to the same thing. And also we have to put on the whole armor of light, and and if you read these few verses here, if you want to stand, put on the armor and stand, what do you need to do? First, you need to wake up. First, you need to wake up, because here in verse 11, you say, and that, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. So here you find that it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up spiritually. You know, too many Christians pay no attention to what is going on around them. You know, to what is going on in the spiritual realm. You know, we need to wake up spiritually. We need to realize that this is a spiritual warfare. You know, we are fighting a spiritual warfare. It's not about just all the earthly thing. It's a spiritual warfare that we are engaged in. So here you find that you need to wake up and be alert. Know that you are in this spiritual warfare. And not only that, it's time to change. Okay, in verse 12, just how we read, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. When you put on the armor to stand, you need to wake up spiritually, and then you need to change. You need to cast off the work of darkness. You know, you cannot do all the all those work of darkness anymore. You need to put on the armor of light. And then in verse 30, it says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So we need to wake up. You want to stand and put on the armor to stand. There's a few things you need to remember here. You know, you find that you don't want to be involved in those rioting, drunkenness, you know. And it's sad to see that nowadays many churches, they allow members to drink. They say it's all right to drink as long as you don't get drunk. But how many people get drunk with the how many people don't get drunk after the first cup or first glass of alcohol? How many people don't get drunk after the first glass? Most of the people get drunk because they started with the first glass. And also here you find that the Bible says no drunkenness and not in chambering, talking about those things that immoral things, okay, that you do it privately, and wantonness, you know, no strife, no envying, all these things. Put it off. You put on all the old self, you put on the armor of light, and now you want to and then not only that, you want to change, okay? And then you find that you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we talk about start to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. God is light. And so now we start to imitate how the Lord Jesus Christ lived, how the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our greatest example. So here you find that you must learn first to put on the whole armor of God and stand, okay? That's how we stand. Then next you find that we have to stand and resist the devil. And the same idea here, okay, when the Bible says we have to stand, and we see the same idea in James chapter 4 verse 7. You know, in James chapter 4 verse 7, James chapter 4 verse 7, and here the word of God says here, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hand, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. So here you find that the word of God tells us we want to stand and resist the devil. Don't run away from the devil. If you stand and resist the devil will flee from you. You know, you don't have to flee from the devil, but rather the devil will flee from you. And so here you find that we need to learn to submit to God, okay? The first thing is to submit. If you want to resist the devil, you must learn to submit to God. That's what the word of God says here. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. You know, you That means you must put yourself, this is in fact a military term, okay? It's like to put yourself in subjection, okay, to the Lord. Now you listen to what the Lord say. You must receive order. You know, you cannot be proud. That's why the verse before that talk about pride, okay, in verse 6, they say, he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he say, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. We cannot be proud. We need to submit ourselves to the Lord and submit to His leadership, obey His word. And so here you find that in order to be able to resist the devil, we must first submit to God unconditionally, okay? And so you find that it's interesting that when we see a doctor, if you are sick and you go and see a doctor, somehow you are very submissive. The doctor asks you to open your mouth, you open your mouth. You won't say why. And then you open your mouth. They say you want to do all the examination. You just listen, very obedient. You just do it. Let the doctor, you listen to the doctor at that time, and then the doctor give you all the medicine, you know, ask you to eat a certain hour, and then you basically follow, very submissive. But do we submit to the Lord the same way? You know, we need to submit to the Lord the same way, unconditionally. You know, then you find that we must not keep anything back. You know, sometimes we keep certain part of our life. You know, we are not totally out there doing what the Lord wants us to do and submit to His will, but rather we hold back. There are certain part in our life that is for ourselves. We are doing things we want. We know God may not be pleased, but we are doing it, and so we are holding back. God says, you know, if you want to resist the devil, you want the devil to flee from you, you must submit to God. You cannot try to live a double-hearted life, okay? In fact, he says, then go on to say, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. And I like this. You know, you find that every time you make one step towards God, you are two steps closer. Every time you make one step towards God, you are two steps closer. Because the Bible says, when you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. So you make one step towards God, you are two steps closer. And so here you find that, but how do we draw near to God, okay? Because sin keep God at a distance. We want to stand. Now we want to stand for the Lord. You know, we know the devil is going to attack us. And so not only that, we want to put on the whole armor, get rid of all the old sin. And here in fact, further to emphasize here, that we cannot live in sin anymore. You know, because sin will keep God at a distance. You know, and so we need to start living right. And that's why the Bible tells, cleanse your hand, ye sinner, purify your heart, ye double-minded. You know, we need to make sure that we have no unconfessed sin, make sure that, because you find that any unconfessed sin will be used by the devil. You know, the way the devil will, even sometimes confess sin, the devil will use it. You know, have you seen those magic show? Where you find that the guy, the magician is very good. You know, he just he take maybe a red cloth. You know, this is the red cloth. Then he put in his hand. Then after what, he opened his hand. There's no more red cloth. But then when he hold his hand up again, then he pull it out again. And then you say, wonder where he hide that piece of cloth. Then he let you see the red cloth. Then he put it in again and open his hand. It's not there. But then when you hold his hand up like that, and then you start to, then slowly pull it out a little bit, and then you come out again. And that's what the devil likes to do with our lives. We go to God to confess our sin, and then God has forgiven us. But a month later, the devil will pull it out again. Oh, you have sinned against the Lord. Now that's why it's so important for us to keep doing what is right, and keep a short account with God. Because the devil, that's how one of the ways he attacks us. He makes us feel guilty. He makes us become ineffective for the Lord. So the devil will do all these things. So the word of God here tells us we must learn not only to submit to God wholeheartedly, unconditionally, we must also learn to draw near to God. We must stay away from sin, cleanse our hand, and ye sinner, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. We cannot be double-minded in all these things. You know, it's either you want to stand with the Lord and fight against the devil, or once a while you want to go into the world and do what the world wants, and become the friend of the devil, like what the Bible tells in James chapter 4, the earlier few verses talking about being a friendship with the devil, okay, and with the world. And so here you find that we cannot live that way. Cannot be double-minded. And then you find that we need to draw near to God. Someone say this, nearness is likeness. When two persons are very close, they look alike. And that's what happened, you know. I don't know, many times when my wife and I are together, you know, they always think that people think that she's my daughter. She looks like me. So when I walk with four girls with my wife, they all say, "Oh, you have five girls." Oh yeah, they have to all look like me, you know. So you find that nearness will somehow make you look alike. And so when you draw near to God, you'll be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you will learn to resist the devil, and the devil will flee. That's how we fight. That's how we stand. You know, you must stand and resist the devil. Not only that, you must stand and resist the devil, put on the whole armor and stand, and then you must stand and resist the devil. Then also you must learn to depend on the Lord and stand. Go back to verse 10. Here in verse 10, this Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10, the word of God says here, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." In fact, if you study the word of God here, these two verses, you know that they are actually two commands. Okay, one is be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Another one is to put on the whole armor of God and that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So here you find that the word of, we know that even if you are equipped with all the equipment of God, we need to learn to depend on God. We can't depend on our own strength. We need God's power to enable us to stand against the devil and all the fallen angels. You know, we need God's power. Only God, with God's help, with God's might, only we can. You know, this is the power of God's resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of resurrection, okay? This is the kind of power that we need. It's not we need this power and to stand against the devil. So here the Bible says, be strong in the Lord. It means that continually, okay, we need to be empowered by Him daily, and we need those spiritual power from God and to stand against the devil. We need the spiritual strength. You know, you need to be like your handphone, you know, you always want it to be fully charged, you know, that kind of idea. You know, most of us now, we cannot live without a handphone, I guess so. I think not many people in the world can live without handphone. And now we even come to a point, we cannot allow our handphone to go without charges, without the battery, we don't want the battery to go flat, okay, sorry. And then yeah, you find that, not only that, so you have power bank, because you want to always stay in power. So you have power bank, you know. Some people have two power bank, you know, and in case, you know, and you run out of charges. And so here you find that you have a handphone and you charge it every night, and then you have power bank with you, and you have another power bank, you know. That's how important it is to us nowadays, people who cannot live without the handphone. We should remind ourselves, we cannot live without God. Without Christ, we can do nothing. To stand against the devil, we need God. And so here you find that we must always stay in connection, okay? Stay in touch with God. We must have that power from God every day, every moment of our life. Be strong in the Lord. It's a statement that we hear over and over again in preaching. But if I ask you this question, how to be strong in the Lord? How can you be strong in the Lord? If I say, how can we be strong physically? Then all of you can give me the answer. I know we will go to the gym every day, 2 hours a day, you know, go to the gym. Then you will be like that, then you walk in this way, you know. So you find that you become huge, okay, your body will be strong, you have all the strength that you need. Physically, we know how to go to the gym and work, have those workout, and so that we will be strong physically. But spiritually, the word of God says, be strong in the Lord. Now let me give you the spiritual burger today to help you to be strong. You know what is the burger, okay? I think, or maybe you all think the burger is unhealthy, so you all don't eat burger anymore. Okay, a burger is very easy actually. What you need to have is to have a bun cut into half, then so you have a top slice and the bottom. Am I right? So you have two. Then in between it's up to you to put whatever you want. So you might have double cheese. So you have one another slice of cheese on top, another slice at the bottom. So you have bread, cheese. Okay. Then after that, you might want to have some, okay, you're healthy. You think in a healthy way, okay? So you put some lettuce and tomato, okay? You have tomato down here, lettuce up there. Or you may put some mayonnaise or you ketchup up there on top. Then right in the center, you have one big piece of meat. That is the most important part. Because without that, it's not a burger. So you must have that piece of meat. And so now let me give you the spiritual burger, okay? Let's turn to Joshua chapter 1, okay? After I explain the... And then this will help you to be strong in the Lord, okay? Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Here you... I use this example because this is what the Lord told Joshua. Joshua is also in certain way fighting not just a physical war. He is fighting a spiritual warfare as well, because he is fighting for the Lord. It's a spiritual warfare. Yes, he went into the promised land and he fought for the Lord. And you know, he that was what God wants him to do in his life. And before he started that whole conquest, that's what God told him in Joshua chapter 1 verse 5. And also here you find that verse 5, he says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the day of thy life, as I was with Moses." So here you find that, you stop here for a while, okay? So this is what God told him. He said, nobody is going to withstand you. This, you already have the victory. You just listen. You just obey. You can go and conquer the land. Nobody will withstand you. And now let me give you the spiritual burger, okay? You start from here. Okay, the top layer, the bread on top. So, God says, "So I will be with thee. I will not leave thee nor forsake thee." Okay, stop here. You jump to verse 9 at the bottom. The second half of verse 9, or the last few, it should be verse 9. He says, "For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." So you have the bread. On top, God say, "I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you." Then God say, "I will be with you whithersoever thou goest." So you have this. So now you can be strong. If you just listen to this promise of God, God say He will not leave us. And the same thing is being promised to us in the New Testament as well. God will not leave us. Without all other things, you have this. You should be able to stand. It doesn't matter who is going to come and attack you. God is with me. You know, God. If God is with me, why are you afraid? Why am I afraid? God is with us. Even if I'm afraid, I should have the confidence in God. I may not have the confidence in myself, but I have the confidence. I should have the confidence in God. So here you find that God promised that He will be with us. Okay, now go to the second layer of the burger. Okay, go down a little bit, the spiritual burger. And then here you find that the Bible tells in verse, go back to verse 5 again. It says here, verse 6 now, okay? He says, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto these people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their father to give them. Only be thou strong and very..." We read too far. The first, second layer is here. Okay, correct. All the way, okay? "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do..." Okay, "be thou very strong." We don't do the observe first, okay? Just a strong there. Then you go down to verse 9. Verse 9, the second verse half say, the whole verse 9, "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. So the second layer, if you look at it, God basically asks him to be strong and courageous. Be strong. You know, first God said in the outer layer, I'm with you. It doesn't matter where you go. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Then the second layer, God said, be strong and very courageous. The bottom also same thing. Be strong and courageous. Do not be dismayed. You know, the war is going to be very intense when you go in. Yes, the enemy is going to outnumber you. Don't worry. Be strong and very courageous. Then you go one layer inside. Okay, now verse 7, the second half of verse 7. It says here, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whither to wherever thou goest. And then you jump, you skip to verse 9. Have I not commanded thee? Sorry, verse 8, okay, the last half of verse 8. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So here you find that first God say, I'm with you always. I will not forsake you. Then the second layer, both sides, God say, be strong and very courageous. Don't be dismayed. Then you go a bit inside, where you have the lettuce and the tomato and all those. God say, observe to do all that commanded you. So now let's go to the meat right in the center. Verse 8. Verse 8 say, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. The first layer. The second layer. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So right in the heart of this spiritual burger, God say, I'll be with you. Be strong and very courageous. Only observe what is commanded thee. Right in the middle, God say, meditate upon His word day and night. That's how you can become strong. It's the word of God. It's how you treat the word of God. Are we meditate upon the word of God day and night? Reading it, you know, here the word of God say, verse 8 say that the book of this law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You talk about it. You know, it says that then, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. If this is what you are doing, you will slowly become strong spiritually. Then not only that you meditate upon it, you have to go, if you go reverse now, you're supposed to observe what is being commanded in the Bible. And when you observe to do what God has commanded you to do, what God say, you will prosper. And this is what makes us strong. As you obey the Lord, as you study the word of God, and you obey what God say, and God prosper your way, then you learn that God can be trusted. And then you become strong and courageous. And then you always have this mindset in you that you know that no matter what happened, God is with me. This is what makes us strong. The word of God. So I hope you will, if you cannot remember anything I say this morning, you will take this spiritual burger home with you. Stay with the word of God. Meditate upon the word of God daily. And then you will be able to be strong and able to stand. Then you find that we need to be ready, okay? Next, you find that not only that you need to stand, you need to fight, you need to be ready. No, we cannot just concentrate on what Satan is going to do. It's just like fighting the terrorists now. You can spend all the time trying to study who is the terrorist, how they're going to attack and things like that. You can spend all those time. But it's not going to help because you don't know how the... What is their next move? It's very difficult to know their next move. And who they are going to use next, you don't know, because it's just like, especially with the IS now, you know, they have recruited many young people worldwide. It can be anywhere, so you won't know. And so we know that the devil will also attack us in many, many different ways. And so there's no point try to focus on the devil and what he's going to do. We should concentrate on what we are going to do. And so we need to get ready, okay? So the very first piece of the thing that mentioned here, okay, the Bible say in whole armor of God here, okay, he says here in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loin girt about with truth. That's the first piece. This is we call the belt of truth, we call it sometimes, because it's something you gird around it. They say gird, your loin gird with the truth, okay? And so, of course, we know the ancient Romans, they wore something that is long flowing, okay? The rope kind of garment got long flowing. And even for men, okay? So, it's not very, it's almost like if you put in today, in a Malaysia context, you'll be like a sarong kind of concept. So you have that, you know, you see some of the pictures they wear, look kind of nice when they are inside the building. But if you are in the warfare, you kind of live fine with that. Even the Chinese also have that robe, am I right? If you remember, in the past, so that's why you see that when those Kung Fu master, when they want to fight, they will lift it up first and tie it on the back. So if you imagine those pictures, I think that's how they do it, okay? When they want to fight, they will lift it up, okay? Swing it to the back, tie it, and so that they can move freely. And so that is what the Romans are doing here. This is the picture given here, okay? And if you wear something that's long, I know it's hard to move around, and so you're going to hinder your movement or progress in the war. So therefore, they have this belt, okay? The Roman soldier have a belt around their waist. And so they were able to tuck in those extra cloth so that they can move freely. So here you find that this belt is called belt of truth because it gives us freedom. The freedom to move. Our movement must not be hindered, okay, when you want to fight and stand for the Lord. So here you find that the things that, again, you find that in this whole series that I'm going to go through with you, you will hear me emphasize the Word of God over and over again. Because bottom line is still the Word of God that gives us the strength, that gives us the power. It's the Word of God. And so here you find that if you turn to John chapter 17, and so we need to have this truth around us. John chapter 17. Verse 17. Here in John chapter 17, verse 17, the Word of God says here, sanctify them through thy word. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. Then if you go to chapter, go back a little bit, okay, to chapter 8. John chapter 8. Turn back a few pages to John chapter 8, verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. Here the Word of God says, then say Jesus unto those Jews which believe on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciple indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I believe as a believer, if you live according to the Word of God, it gives you a lot of liberty and freedom. Because you know that. And also in certain way confident, because you are living according to the Word of God. If you give you the courage to keep doing what is right, because if you obey and you see how God bless, and so here you find that you must have this belt of truth with you. The truth is always with you, is the one that make you ready. And not only that, this one also, the belt also speak of readiness, okay? And in this, the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 12, let's look at a few verses here, okay? You can see that all these servants, it gives us a picture. When you have this belt, it talks about readiness, not only talk about freedom that we can have, also on readiness. In Luke chapter 12, the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, verse 35, here the Bible says, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not sorry, this is chapter 11. Chapter 12, verse 35. Chapter 12, verse 35. Yes. Here the word of God says here, let your loin be girded about, and your light burning, and ye yourself like unto men that waited for the Lord, when he will return for the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meet, and will come forth and serve him. So here you find that here the idea of put a gird up your loin means that you are ready. You are always ready. And so if you want to stand for the Lord, you must be ready. You must be free. You know, there's nothing hindering you. And so your life must be according to the word of God. And then you must have this readiness. You are ready to serve, ready to do what the Lord wants you to do. And then in same book, okay, Luke chapter 17, verse 8, the same similar idea, okay, you can see that as well. Here he says that, I will not rather, and talking about this servant, okay, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Here talk about the servant have been working out there for a long whole day, you know, kind of tired, came back, and then they say the master will ask him to just get ready, you know, and cope, you know, don't go and sit down and do nothing. And so the whole idea is that even if you have done that, he is doing what is reasonable. That's what he's supposed to do. And we are all servants of God. And so we must always be ready to serve. And you want to stand against the devil, you must have this belt of truth, always ready to do what the Lord wants you to do. And you have the truth with you. You must know the truth. That means you must know the word of God. Earlier on we already said the spiritual burger. You need to study the word of God, meditate upon it, know it, study it. You need to know the word of God in order to have this belt of truth. And then the belt also talk about discipline, okay? Here you find that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. One of the areas that I believe the devil will attack us the most will be our mind. It's right here. Our mind, or our thought life, is the most private part of our life. Even at this moment, when I'm preaching here, I don't know what is in your mind. And some of you may be with me now. Some of you. And some of you may be not with me now. Some of you may be somewhere in Bali. Or some of you may be somewhere in the restaurant down there, thinking what you're going to eat. Because our mind, nobody can know. I can see you physically. I know whether you're tired or not from your facial expression. But I cannot tell what is in your mind. And the Bible tells in 1 Peter chapter 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loin of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So here you find that you talk about we need to gird up the loin of our mind, and be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you. So here you find that we need to discipline our thought life. Because you find that, as I say, the devil influences here the most. The devil attacks us here the most. Now this is where we start to, it starts here. Most of the time, it's right in the mind we start questioning who is God, or whether God cares for us or not, care about us or not, and things like that. It's right here. And sometimes we don't even tell people that we are not happy with what's going on, and but here we have that thought, and the devil used that. And so the Bible tells us to gird up the loin of our mind. We need to make sure that we think the right thing, you know, and don't allow the devil to use it. Don't make your like I used to tell people, I say, you cannot stop the bird from flying over your head. I mean, they'll be flying. But you must not let the bird make a nest on your head. But some people make a nest with their hair. I just wonder whether bird will come down or not, that's all. But it's here. In fact, if you read James chapter 1, the Bible tells that James chapter 1 verse 13, and here the word of God tells us, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. And so here you find that the Bible tells us that we all start inside. Sin all begins inside. The lust, your thinking, what you see, what you hear, and then you start to do all the thinking inside, and then that is where you sin. And so that's where the devil, that's how the devil attacks us many times. And so we need to have this belt of truth with us. Gird up the loin of your mind. You know, that's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, you know, if a man look at the lady in Matthew chapter 5, you know, he said, if you look at the lady and you start to have all the immoral thought in your mind, it's in your mind. God said you already committed an adultery. But physically, he didn't do anything. He may be able to see in the church also, but thinking on those things. So it's the mind. This is to build up the loin with truth, okay? And here you find that, that's why we always have to remind ourselves to think on what is right and what is good. And the Bible tells us what to think on, okay, in Philippians chapter 4. And this verse is hard to memorize. You get mixed up with all the things of the sequence. But yet you find that here, that's what the word of God says. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, let think on these things. Think on these things. So you see, we need to discipline our mind to think on things that are right, things that are good, and all the negative things we have to avoid, you know, thinking too much on those things. Avoid thinking on those things. God says this is how we discipline our mind. Study the Word of God, meditate upon the Word of God, and think on things that are right. You know, in conclusion, okay, to deny the existence of this spiritual warfare, or to avoid this warfare, or to refuse to stand against the wiles of the devil, will not stop our enemy, our adversary, from waging warfare against us. You can ignore it, you pretend you don't know, you ignore it, you avoid, and you don't want to live as what a Christian is supposed to be, and you just go along with the flow of the world, the devil will still wage his warfare against us. So let me give you these words. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Here the word of God says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Sorry, always look at the wrong. Correct. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the days of visitation. Just keep abiding in the truth. Walking in the truth. Think of what is true. Speak the truth. And you will be spiritually ready for the devil's attack. Otherwise, you find that you let the devil have a lot of room or area to attack you. If you are not living right, if you are not thinking right, you are not looking at the right things, not hearing the right thing, that's where the devil will start working. We need to be ready. Yes, we need to take a stand, but we must first be ready. And later on, in the evening, we will look at what else to put on.